December 31st, 2020, it's a Watch for Pedro show.
There are two great things for magnetic tape. One is music, All the things you're thinking of your mind. Game is what I become your identity. And directing the phenomenon of automatism of chance, which I mistrust as a facility which is not absolutely necessary. What do you mean by mirrors, triangles, and breaking mirrors? Googled, but couldn't find anything on it. We have the feeling we're getting nowhere, that is a buzzer, which will continue if we are irritated with whatever. But I think consistent movement is a huge difference between different levels of play. The way I adopt it, by the intimacy of multiplicity and emptiness.
Wow, for Pedro Show, happy Thursday, happy last day of 2020. We started this edition off with John Coltrane doing What's New? And then Network Glass, 3A. And quick quarantino mode. It's bad with this COVID-19, so we got to hunker down and put a plug in the jug, huh? So my brother Matt's at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point a couple miles south, but I'm not totally man alone because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention. I got Dor with me from Balmore. Welcome aboard, Dor.
Hello.
Yes, yes. And we got to give right away big respects to brother Evan Lebson for making the connect, because I got turned on to some fucking mind-blow sounds and rhythms and emotion and all that stuff. And thank you. But, okay, Dor, let's go back. Can you tell me your earliest musical recollection?
I don't really know. Maybe like getting weird mixtapes, probably, like as like a little kid. About as far as I can think.
Remember, this is a Watt for Pedro Show, so there's no hard questions and there's no wrong answers.
Yeah.
Now, fucking mixtapes, that was big deal in the early days of the movement, because, you know, Square Johns weren't writing about wild shit. So it was your buddies and buddies and buddies and buddies turning you on to shit. So
that's yeah, I mean, that's how I heard most shit, was just older dudes giving me mixtapes because I was younger, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Giving you like what, just like weird shit you won't find otherwise.
Yeah. Now, did you grow up in Baltimore?
No. I was born in Brooklyn, and I grew up mostly in New Jersey. And then I moved to Baltimore like 12 years ago, maybe.
You know, New Jersey looks like a little Cali turned the other way.
I guess so.
On the luscious plate. I noticed.
Probably not a great state, though. Not a great state.
Everywhere's got good parts and bad parts. That's what 45 years of touring has shown me. But you know, everybody's got their... That's the thing. You get an impression, right? Yeah. And if you meet a fucking dick, you're going to always think this is fucking... Like they say in New Jersey, don't that eat a big sack of dicks. Anyway, the pad you grew up with, did it have musical instruments?
Not really. I didn't really grow up around music that aggressively.
Oh,
like,
okay.
It wasn't, like, that much of a thing for me till, like... I mean, I guess I always, like, liked music or whatever, but I don't think I really got into it and around people that were also interested in, so I was like maybe like 18, maybe 17.
Just getting out of high school. Let me ask you about school. Were you in any of that school kind of music stuff, like choir or marching band or shit like that?
No.
Okay. So coming out of high school, and what was it? Was it like buddies?
Yeah, just like buddies, you know, like kind of like, you know, just like fucked up music and like hardcore and shit like that at the time.
Now, did you gravitate towards a machine, an instrument?
No, not really. I always just kind of like, I think the first time I tried using things to like make sounds or something with, it was just like some old like intercoms and like cassettes or something like that. I never like, music as like a thing never like grabbed me that much to like, you know, I'm not that interested in like knowing instruments or something. It never really was.
Yeah.
I was more interested in just sort of like how sounds occur.
Sure.
So it's been how my mind's worked as opposed to working more musically, I think.
And you know, sounds come from everything, not just musical instruments, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know.
Right. And the world's full of fucking rhythms and syncopations and all that stuff without having coming through these real, specific kind of machine. I'm curious, what was the first record you bought with your own money?
I don't know. It's probably some stupid punk 7-inch or something that I can't remember now.
Okay.
That's my guess.
What about your first gig you went to?
I guess I saw the Temptations when I was like really little.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I guess that was kind of chill.
Yeah, Temps. Good step. Good steps. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Otherwise, it was just probably like some basement show, you know?
Okay. The steps is another dimension that some quote musicians don't realize is important. So, okay. What about, do you know this dinosaur record called You're Living All Over Me? And the last tune called Polito, where the bass man, Lou Barlow, made stuff out of cassettes.
No, I mean, I'm familiar with like the tape stuff that guy got into.
You know the thing, you know what I'm talking about, where you overdub. Did you get into stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, I've pretty much gotten into like basically any kind of thing you can use at this point, like reel to reels, cassettes, micro cassettes, like whatever, you know, like making tape loops, going, doing tape degradation like that, where you just dub over and over.
Sure. Because I asked this, like, okay, like me on the bass, here I'm trying to copy songs off fucking records. Now, you weren't doing that, right? You weren't finding some experiment, or were you? Were you a fan of Throbbing Gristle?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I like Throbbing Gristle. I mean, I guess I sort of still like Throbbing Gristle, but that's definitely, like, something I was getting into when I was younger, you know, like, I remember hearing, like, Mare's Bow for the first time, and, you know, how fucked up that sound. And
Mare's Bow, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, some, like, you know, a lot of just, like, whatever techno and stuff like that from, like, that was going on around, like, the 90s, you know, that I was a kid for. And all the weird sounds that all those people made with whatever fucked up gear they used.
You know, I know somebody who knows Mare's Bow, and it's trippy. He told me that the guy's a big fan of, like, Pink Floyd and shit.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it's kind of just like psyched out anyway, you know what I mean? I mean, it still sounds like fucking music pretty clearly to me.
Yeah.
So it works.
Now, your thing, man, you like to use, to get the rhythm going, you use space. You use, like, stops.
Yeah.
Did that come early?
Yeah, because, you know, when you're working with, like, when I was, like, working with, like, stuff like, you know, just tone generators, like old test oscillators and stuff like that, it's kind of, you just kind of get into the, how rhythms function that way.
And how would how would you find these devices?
In the trash or, like, thrift store or whatever, you know, maybe someone has one in their basement or some shit.
Yeah, okay, like, I'm asking you like that. Like, did you know other cats that were kind of pioneering this way also?
I met a friend of mine, Dave Sutton. He has this project called LXD, and I met him when we were both probably like 18 or 19, and he was kind of the same way, you know, like a bunch of weird garbage gear that he'd find for cheap or whatever. And we kind of, like, you know, we'd do that shit. We'd have, like, we had, like, our project together. We basically just played, like, the most garbage, like, trash electronics together, you know what I mean?
Was that kind of your first band?
I don't know. I played with some kids when I was, like, in high school a little bit, where I would just play, like, electronics and, like, do, like, shitty vocals or something. But again, I wasn't really, like, that interested at the time. But, yeah, I did work with that dude a bit. We had, like, some projects that we did together and some, you know, just doing, like, gross basement shows, playing junk electronics on the floor.
You know, you being in Baltimore with this kind of scene, are you aware of these Mold Omen guys?
No, I'm not.
I play a lot of that on my show, and, I mean, they don't have the rhythm thing that you got, but they go after these weird-ass sounds, and I think they've been doing it for 15, 20 years or something. And, I'm wondering, because this happened in the old days. you had parallel universes. Dudes not knowing that there was another dude doing the same.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Ain't that a trip? Where Thurston told me it even happened with his thing with Glenn Branca and Reese Chatham. They didn't know they were each doing that, you know, what turned into Sonic Youth music.
Yeah, well, it's like when you're doing that kind of more like not straightforward kind of music or sound stuff, it's like not immediate that there's like, well, I guess now it's like, you know, everyone's on the fucking internet or whatever. You can find those communities, like it's not a thing anymore, but there's definitely a time, you know, you think you're like probably the only person who's like looping a tape. You know what I mean?
Do you know about the Old England thing? It was called the BBC Sound Workshop or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Adelia Derbyshire.
Mm-hmm.
Where they got tape like going around door handles and shit. Like no synthesizer.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, it's just like whatever you could get out of it. Like when you're talking about like stuff like rhythm, like rhythm's not something that I even like go after. Like I don't think about that at all. I never like think for in those like ideas of how sound would function musically when I'm working on things. So stuff like rhythm or, I don't know, a melody or whatever, any kind of sound that you can make that relationship with, it's not something I ever like intend for. It's just how sound works, I think, for most people. So
it's more organic. You're not just, it's not all in the head with fucking numbers. And what I just thought was really interesting, the way the rhythm comes from the stops. I mean, that's mm-hmm. fucking, yeah. You know, whatever's going to cut up the time, right? And you use stops. It's just, I want to play a cup. Is it cup? It's got two P's. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Walk for Pedro show. That was Network Glass with Cut. Now, people, I know I'm talking to Dor, and I'm saying Network Glass for these progeny, but that's, we'll get into that. Dor will tell us, enlighten us, but that's the name of the thing. They're not two different things. It's just,
yeah, one man.
One man.
Two dumb names. Yeah.
I think they're great names, man. I dig them. Then we had a PK. This is by nearby D.C. A guy from Buffalo who moved to D.C. area. And he's got a band called Model Home. But this is from his new solo record. And Born Wrong, PK, Pat Kane. He was doing Wild Ass Sax before that, too. His Name Is Alive's got a brand new thing. My Heart Will Go Out. Then The Laid in Jars, brand new out of London with Arthur. Bowman's Prendon, Miles and Miles. Too Hot to Trotsky. That's a terrible title. Orthotonics. And my dad's a fucking alcoholic from Weird Feelings out of Dublin. Now, I played this song. This was a band called The Frantics, maybe early 80s. That's a trip. I guess if you hang out long enough, everything comes back around. Paprika Pony from Kim Gordon from 8 or 9 months ago in Paris. That's King title, right? And then finally, Network Glass with 2A. So, the process, I mean, you know, it's time for a new composition. Is it like that in your mind, or is it what? No, you just start fucking around?
I'll kind of have like a really loose mind for how I want the whole piece to function, but I just basically have like a library of, I'm sort of constantly working in my studio, just like getting small tidbits of whatever sounds, or I don't know, maybe like recording something for like a long ass time and then finding like a few seconds I like or something like that, and then sort of piecemeal it and see how it starts actually functioning once it's working with other sounds how I was originally intending, and then kind of go from there. A lot of taking away, like, there's something that I feel like I've become too attached to in the composition, I'll a lot of times try to just get that gone.
So
I don't feel so you got you anymore.
You got like a warehouse, a library of sound. So it's not in the moment all being created. You got like kind
not
of
not necessarily, a, no.
You got kind of a reservoir.
Yeah, I just have like just like a library of stuff that I'll filter through, reuse things a lot. Just kind of see how the sounds keep functioning in like a different context.
Sometimes there's keyboard, right?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much anything that can supply sound, I'll utilize. You know what I mean? Like, whether it's like a synth or some recorded fucking, I don't know, me drinking a soda or some shit, you know what I mean?
It's all fair game.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is. Like, it doesn't matter to me. It's not consequential. It's whatever. I'll just take the sound from anything and use it.
It's what ends up coming out of the speakers at the end of the day anyway, right? I mean, people
yeah.
can't tell. What's that thing from Wizard of Oz? Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't even matter. Like, you don't... I mean, it doesn't matter what fucking gear you're using or how you got your sounds, how at the end of the day, it's just like what the sound is. It doesn't matter if I ran a microphone across the street to like record a steak on the sidewalk or something, or I like spent, you know, 6 hours making a patch on a synth. At the end of the day, it's still a fucking sound. At the end, it don't matter.
Yeah, what about with humans and their fetish towards gear?
Yeah, that's a rough one.
That's a real rough one.
It is, you know, people get lost in it, and then just, everything just starts to sound the same.
Yes, that's what happens. It's
you
like,
know what I mean, it's like, you build, like, some giant, like, modular rig or something, and it's just like, cool, you know, that looks nice, but that sounds like, yeah, it sounds like those 10 modules that other guy's system has, and you're making the same patches anyway.
Do you know about Tonto headband? You know, the synthesizer that Stevie Wonder used for those three records. I mean, it's the size of a fucking room. For a while, the Devo guys had it at their Mutato place. I think it's in England now. but it's a whole fucking room.
Yeah, yeah, you know, to like make like a baseline.
Now,
it's cool, you know.
We gotta cut, yeah, we gotta cut them some slack because it was the early 70s, you know, and they were.
No, no, that's cool. I mean, I'm not talking.
I'm on board with you. Like, to me, the idea is like, you got all these guys commiserating around pocket knives, and like, nobody ever gets to carving anything. It's just about the fucking getting the knives together.
Yeah, it's like about how sick your studio is set up or something. I mean, that's cool. It's fun. But I mean, I don't know. So there's a point where that starts to feel like it's more like a hobbyist thing than it is about anything else.
And kind of shit hoarding.
It's definitely shit hoarding, that's for sure. It's like, damn, cool. You got like 15 of drum machines with the same drum sounds on it. That's tight.
That means you know, the other, there's 14 dudes out there who ain't got one.
Yeah, you know, and their shit's probably tight.
Yeah. You know? And here you just. Shit, yeah, I think it's a problem of humans, man. It's maybe coming from a time of, like, scarcity, and so you just gotta, like, grab everything, whether you're fucking using it or not.
Yeah, people just like having their shit, you know?
Right. And, yeah, like my sister told me, nobody cares when you're dead.
All yeah, that shit. You know? you gotta think about that, especially when you're putting your shit out. Like, do you need that many copies of that record you did when you died? You know?
Right, right.
That you like didn't sell when you were on tour, but tried to.
Yeah, getting it all ready for the estate sale.
Yeah.
Right. But as far as like a living dynamic, and yeah, it's just so jive. And it seems like, in some ways, like you said, there's good connects with the internet, but it does kind of focus in. What are they, with bass players, it's terrible. They call it a GAS, gear acquisition syndrome.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, five string basses, six string basses, eight string basses.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely like fell sort of in a hole like that when I was like building my first synth, but. I got out of it good at a good time before, you know, it turned into me having like a $20,000 synth while like sleeping on a floor, you know, with like no hot water.
But you got that synth. So
I got that synth.
Yeah, but do you got a background in electronics then?
Not really. I mean, I know how to do some shit that I just, like, I taught myself.
Learned by doing, right? Yeah, yeah. That's smart. That's practical and stuff. I mean, I guess if you go back with the synth, it was always about modular. It's always putting pieces together, parts.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really kind of interesting. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, December 31st, 2020. This is Watt Pedro Show special guest, Dar. Hang tight for hour two. December 31, 2020, it's the second hour of the Watt for Pedro Show. Thank you.
mothers and children see hard times when the mother is dead and gone. Mothers, little children, see hard times when the mother's dead and gone. They go hungry, they go cold, they go begging from door to door. Mothers, little children, see hard times when the mother's dead and gone. When the mother's dead and gone, daddy will do the best he can. When the mother's dead and gone, daddy will do the best he can. But he don't really understand. The mother's little children see hard times. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, for Pedro Show, we start off the second hour with Network Glass doing OCVBS, because I don't know how to pronounce. Sam Bennett after that, Mother's Little Children, Barry Berko Band. I think he's going to move to Berlin soon. Chemical, that's with K's people. Waves of the Practice of the Particle Pass, Absorbed in the Emitter, from High Maya, Akron Cats, I think, a long time ago. Go Team Go, Sporadic Spontaneous. Megan Ryan from Dr. Herman Green, just lost him a couple weeks ago. And finally, Tasks. I'm taking a chance here, dude. I think it's Tasks. From Network Glass. So, talk about titles. They're probably last, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's not the most important thing to me ever. I never really even title anything. I always come with a title at the last possible second, like when I have to send out all the info for it or something, you know?
Like
randomly type on the keys half the time.
Yeah, because like last hour we played a tune called 2A.
I think that was the side of the tape.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that was, I did a release that was, four cassettes, but each tape is only 4 minutes total and 2 minutes per side.
Wow. What do you think about the comeback of cassettes?
I mean, it was cool. I was, like, pretty into tapes in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool. Like, it's the same thing, though. People get obsessed with tapes.
Yeah,
like, obsessed
of course.
With gear or fucking records or whatever, but, you know, I was definitely a part of the... I mean, I still release shit on tape, you know, it's... I feel like it's how most people release things anyway. It's like, someone's just gonna download it anyway. It's cheaper to put out a fucking tape than, like, the whole process of dealing with records, you know?
You know, the record companies hated them. They wanted everybody to have 8-tracks because it was harder to record on them. Yeah, you could make your own tapes. And they even made their tapes that they ended up selling themselves. Real shitty quality.
I mean, cassettes don't sound great. Like, at the end of the day, I mean, for some shit, it's cool, but it's not like you're getting, like, the greatest fidelity, and it's going to degrade to shit over time anyway.
Yeah, well, because the shit's going to shred off the medium, right? Well, the 8-tracks, they had this thing called Wow and Flood. Well, I guess cassettes have it, too, but they were really bad. I mean, woo-woo. And you,
yeah.
Fuck, trying to learn music, you can't lift the needle up, man. It was fucked up. Trying to learn them cream bass lines. I want to play... H325.
addicted to the rails. You sold them all your sins and now they're taking you to jail. You always said I was as good as dead. I've come to decide that maybe you were right. Depending on the weather and the dawn or the dead, I got my thing together but I'm hanging by a thread. And even though I'm down to skin and bones, I gotta make it living in the aerodrome. And so it seems I can't think without confusion. Try to keep it real by selling my illusions. This is the scene, I feel like Mr. Clean. I know the blood that flows in my machine. My tongue's a knife for all the things up in my head. Got my thing together, but I'm hanging by a thread. Dozen of the other, it makes it hard to reach my hand out to my brother. I ride the wave through the trials and tribulation, beats drowning in chronic masturbation. You always said I was as good as dead. I've come to decide that maybe you were right. Depending on the weather, the dawn or the dead, got my thing together, but I'm hanging by a thread. Yeah, got my thing together, but I'm hanging by a thread. Yeah, got my thing together, but I'm hanging by a thread. I said I got my thing together, but I'm hanging by a thread.
Walk for Pedro show. Yeah. Network Glass with H325. Then from Poland, we had Troopa Troopa Gdansk. Fallen. Moist Boys with the... Don't you love... It kind of went out of fashion, but the idea of ending your name with a Z, right? The Moist Boys. A little bit. Hanging by a Thread. Germanota Youth with Blackfriars Bridge, Part 1. Day at Home by Stoner Cop. The Process of Forgetting, Number 2, from the new Harnessians. I guess people put on harnesses. Harnessians. I don't know how you say this. Good thing with some trippy music. EOC2 from Plus Dog Plus. And finally, 696 Smile. Network Glass. So where did Network Glass come from?
I don't know. It was around a time where I had a lot. I would constantly change my project names. Like, I don't know how many I've had. I had like 8 at a point probably. And then there was a point where I was like, I think I'm going to just stick with one. And I tried to think of something vague enough that the idea can maybe change as opposed to feeling too strapped down to a name. Like just, you know, like just like titles, you know.
You're saying you at one time simultaneously you had 8 different project names.
Probably, yeah. Okay. I mean, I mean, who doesn't, you know?
I went to Walter Mitty. Was that fucking movie? Terrible. This guy played different dudes, right? So, what about Tor?
What about it?
Did you take Network Glass on the road?
Yeah, I would go on tour. I forget the last. I think I went on tour last year. Was the last time I toured.
Well, yeah, everybody.
I mean, duh. Right? Want some dumbass shit?
But I'm curious.
Yeah, I mean, I would tour like maybe like. Once a year, something like that, probably.
I'm curious about, do you recreate these compositions, or are you creating ones live for that gig?
If I'm going on tour, I just, like, I'll make one composition for each, you know, it's just one piece that I'll do for each show, you know what I mean? It's pretty much fully, it's like, you know, fully planned out. I'll do some stuff live, but... I mean, not that it matters. Like, I'm sitting behind a laptop, you know.
Yeah, like, are you just hitting the space bar?
Yeah, I'm hitting the space bar. I got an ergonomic mouse, so, you know, my wrist doesn't get too strained after the 15 minutes that I'm, like, annoying everybody. No. But yeah, not the most engaging thing in the world.
I can't remember, and I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I remember some bands for a while there, they're sitting, like, behind a desk, with a crap top and just push the space bar.
Yeah, but I mean, it's about the sound, you know, and how it's functioning. Sure. You don't always need that performance. I mean, there's a place for it, but there's also a place for it to not be there.
And what about, what do you call it, mixed media? Do you have some visual going?
No, just there's nothing exciting. Occasionally I work with that. There's like a dude here in Baltimore, Mark Brown, that I'll do video stuff with sometimes, so like build a patch or something to work with the sound. But, you know, otherwise, yeah, I'm behind the screen. That's about it. If I'm like, can I not be on a stage, or can I just go behind the screen so nobody can see me because it doesn't matter? Do that.
Or, yeah, because, you know, I'm kind of dinosaur, right? I get up there and do, you know, the cream thing. But come on, that's been done so many fucking times. But it's interesting, you know, a gig. Here's what, let me tell you this story. One thing I really like, because I came to the movement from arena rock, where everything was totally predictable. You knew exactly what was going to happen. To all of a sudden this scene where you had no idea what the fuck was going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And I kind of like that other way better. And having everything, so I'm in this, and that's why I'm asking you these questions: how you deliver this thing in a live gig. So if you had your way, you'd be hiding behind one of the PA speakers.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe I'm just not even there at all. That'd be the best, probably.
Right.
I'll just send a CD, a cardboard cutout, sitting behind a desk or something.
Okay. So, it's probably the schlep is easy, right? You don't bring it much shit.
Oh yeah, it's sick. I mean, I used to have a ton of gear, you know. I think the last time I played with any gear was like I don't fucking know. It was in D.C. I was playing with Jason Leskely, and I had all my gear, just my big fucking modular synth, and some gear nerds are like coming up before I even do anything, and they're like, "Oh yeah, this is gonna be sick," and I'm like, "How do you know?" Just like seeing a bunch of fucking wires out. No, that's when I was like, "I'm done. I'm not dragging this shit around anymore. It's such a hassle."
Just keep it in the lab. Go ahead.
And I mean, I could do so much more. I can do so much more using a laptop. I don't have to think linear ways at all. So, but yeah, definitely rolling up with like a backpack and like a laptop and an audio interface.
Yeah,
that is so sick. You're like, my setup time is not shit. It doesn't fucking matter. I could just show up 5 minutes before. It's fine. We're good.
I like that. And the teardown too. We're out of here.
It's done. It's fucking easy.
Put a fork in it. And we're done. Yeah.
I can just bail. I can just leave the show. It's fucking easy.
Yeah. But back in the lab, right, when you're producing these sounds. Well, let me ask you this, since you brought up the laptop thing. What do you think about stuff like the Reason or the Live? Did you use the software kind of stuff?
Yeah. I use Bitwig. It's like my main DAW. So I guess that's sort of like the brain of everything. And then, I use whatever software. I use Pure Data and just like anything.
And does it really matter? One's as good as another, or do you got a favorite?
I mean, I love using Bitwig. It's great. I mean, it's good to have like a DAW where you can just kind of center everything. And there's a bunch of shit in that software that lends itself pretty well to sound design and working non-musically versus like some software that seems like it really wants to guide you to make a techno track or something.
Yeah. Right. I mean, my experience is I use them like tape recorders, but I know what you're talking about. They're a world that, you know, a sound factory under themselves. And you can archive your stuff, which you can't really do with a modular synth, you know. I mean, you can bring in the sounds to that thing, but it, in itself, it's going to be gone, right? All those patch settings, all those knob settings.
Well, yeah, it's also you just don't have to be as attached to it. The other thing, like, when you're just working with some gear, you're going to have to just kind of, like, be about what the gear's doing, you know? But if you just have basically this studio center, your mind doesn't have to work that way with it.
Yeah. And I think it stays more musical, less with that shit-hoarding gear fucking brain.
Part of our brains.
the whole idea, the way I look at it and what I feel from it is potential, man. What is to be done? What could be done? There's just so many fucking ideas, you know? I love it.
And you gives you a lot more freedom with how you want to think about what you're doing.
Yeah, and I guess what they call it in the old days, you have to develop an audience for this market. And I'm like, fuck that, man. If you feel it, make it happen.
Yeah, I mean, worrying about an audience is the last thing you should do. I mean, that's wild. Like, release something like four tapes that are only 16 minutes long, or like, I'm working with this cutting engineer right now on a record and it has 11 locked grooves in it. You know, the audience is either there or it's not. Like, don't worry about it.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much in our life that is out of our control, and you got to fucking worry about that shit too. People, they weird me out. I mean, I just don't understand. And it's like the people who say, oh, there's too many bands. I mean, what's an alternative? Alternative, even that fucking word. I told people not to use that word. Look, King bit us back in the ass. Fucking.
Yeah, it's still there.
Yeah, well, yeah, now these clowns with the funny mustaches and these old timey clothes and shit. What a fucking thing to rally around. Bunch of grease in their hair. Okay, people were at... don't want anybody to feel sad. I'm sorry. It's the end of the year. This is at the end of the second hour. December 31, 2020. Dish Watt Peter Show special guest door. Hold tight for hour three. December 31st, 2020. It's third hour of the Watt for Pete Rose Show.
Up with the good stuff. Well, I got a Coke Energy, and then I got a Monster right there as well. But we're gonna do a quick review. Check this out. This is Cherry Coke.
Thank you. Don't you know I don't wanna try? I can't live without you, baby. Don't you know I'd just as soon die? All the shitholes we had, but the drinking was mad. All the mirrors we smashed, all the cars that we crashed. Ain't that love? Ain't that love? Ain't that you once told me that I brought home every paroled felon in town. I left when you told me that you thought they were blast to have run. All the mornings on coke, all the yes we were broke, all the loving till dawn, like a war raging on. Ain't that love? Ain't that love? Ain't that love? There's no other for me that I can talk to. I know we've been screaming. It's a thing we'll get through. Let's grow old together, baby. Don't you know we've made it this far? Let's grow old together, maybe. We already are. Years we've been with, all our friends that are dead, all the dreams that came true, all the ones yet to do. Ain't that love? Ain't that love? Ain't
Watch for Pedro. Yeah, I've been doing this 20 years. I call it pilot air. You can't blame the fucking machine, right? It's pilot air. Start off the third hour with Network Glass doing WHCR 19. That's a jam, people. Crane with Transversing. Ain't That Love from Hamill on Trial. Jolting Tales of Tension from Fatso Jets. And Mario Lali from Apple Valley, the desert scene. Waku Waku, Kingdom, Sugar Pills, Lewis Cole, Ghost Story, and finally, Febed? Febed? From Network Glass. Yeah, Febed. So, you're getting into vinyl.
Yeah, I mean, I've had records on of other projects before. But yeah, I'm doing this one release. It's already, it came out digitally. We got, it was supposed to be a record, but then, you know, COVID shit, obviously, threw some things around. And but now I'm reworking the material specifically to be on vinyl, since originally it's like digital. So digital stuff never sounds as good on a record anyway, so.
And then, you know, you were talking about the mastering and making closed grooves. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people, that's a technique where, like, it never ends. It's a closed loop. The needle keeps going round.
Yeah, yeah. I'm putting like the lock grooves like within the pieces, as a, you know, a lot of often, I guess, when that, it's usually like the start or just the end or whatever. But they're just in between, like within the pieces, so they function as part of the composition. And there's gaps of just blank vinyl for the needle to just skate across to the next track instead of, you know, smoothly transitioning over. So I guess it'll kind of fuck with someone's needle, but I don't really give a shit.
You know, there was this Monty Python record called Matching Handkerchief and Tie, and it actually had three sides, because one of the sides was actually with the other side, but the groove is dependent on how you drop the needle.
Yeah, yeah, you can do, like, more than one. You can do multiple sides on a record by just, like, having the grooves closer together. So I forget exactly how, actually. I'm pretty dumb, so. But there is something, you know. For those with a mind on some shit, but for the idiot mind like myself, you know, they got some shit that they do.
Okay. So, you know, in the old days, it was like, that's the medium, right? But the medium becomes part of the fucking piece, right?
Yeah, which is like, I don't know, I mean, that's like the cool thing about, if you're going to work with physical mediums, is like,
yeah,
thinking about that, you know, that it is like, you don't have to think about it just being like whatever work you made just on a format. It's a whole other medium. You can do whatever you want with it.
Yeah, let the freak flag fly. What about other people right now? Well, what about from the past? Do you look from anybody from the past, like we said, talked a little about Throbbing Gristle?
I mean, at this point, I honestly, like, don't really, like, yeah, listen to music very much or, like, seek it out at this point. Like, too much at all. But, I mean, I definitely have a mind for, you know, whatever, like, fuck. Damn, I'm trying to think. That's how little I think about it these days.
Yeah, but
I mean, I definitely like, you know, go back to the history of things of, you know, like listening to fucking Xenakis or something, you know.
Yeah, because, you know, there might be a fear that you might, not on purpose, but copy. And so by not...
Yeah, but I mean, that's fine, you know, like, ideas are just repeated all the time, fucking matter.
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't have said copy. Yeah, because think about writing, right? You don't invent words every time fucking nobody yeah, could read. Yeah, it doesn't fucking
work, you know? You're not going to invent something, so you've got to be fucking scared about it. Like, figure out, like, figure out how to do some, like, fucked up, glitchy shit on my computer, and you're like, well, I mean, that's sick. It's still kind of the same thing as figuring out fucked up shit with tapes in, like, the fucking 50s or something.
Okay. I'm totally on board with that. I want to play 3.5/10.
Let it go.
Danke, Egal, danke. When his comrade rifle trying to cross on that belt.
I haven't streamed in like a week.
Posición fuerte.
It all started with a,
So, I mean, I've seen you, like, grind.
Yo tengo trampa, boludo.
What does that mean?
I've been walking.
Hi, Mark.
Wait, you saying we're gonna lose?
Probably. I just want to go. I literally haven't left the house yet today.
2 minutes.
Why are you like... Hi, guys.
I know, right?
Call me Nozomi.
Aw,
thank you so much, Lena. I'm not even gapping. I just want to say congrats on all your success lately.
Huh?
I just remember 2 months ago,
uh-oh!
I went on my...
Vamos, vamos, más ruta.
Oh, the grenade thing?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Usually the only
They're
game that I play.
Just bouncing off that guy's build.
Yeah, I know.
No, sister, running out the
back
on the roof.
And I'll grab these.
Ja. Auf, Digga.
Ach, man, jetzt ab einfach auf, mach, Digga.
I'm a keep one.
Yeah, I am a model.
Definitely a yes.
By you.
Definitely a yes.
FYI? Are you fighting?
She's in this dumb proximity thing. I'm trying to figure it out.
Scared. That thing is scary.
It gets released. My average views are like 2K minimum.
Vacation, you're like,
I'm gonna be the.
I can't afford to take a break.
You fight now. There's many of them.
I have so many assist kills, and still one kill. But
baller.
I have like at least two or three assists.
Do you have any bazooka bullets?
Okay.
Drink a mini and let's go kill these losers.
Dance
grab those AR
thanks,
bullets.
Luna, I really
thank you, that. Thank you.
Hi, hello.
Okay, hold on.
Are y'all really out here making me think about posting?
Yeah, carry this proximity thing.
That's on you. I take
a bullet to kill it.
That sound is so satisfying. The follower
notification.
You don't think I should do it?
Might die.
I think I.
Hey, what up?
Yeah, this is from Lothar Johnny, also.
Like, let's just say if the cockpit gets released, chat, I'm gonna keep 100. The lady fan base is probably going up by at least like 80%. I'm gonna keep 100.
Community, like, I don't know. I forgot exactly what you said verbatim, but
so basically like octopus, but without your throw getting stuck.
That's fucking.
She's stealing awesome. She's gonna.
Yeah, I got.
I'll grab it.
I got
carry three snipers for the shot.
Can you just wait? I'm sorry. I'm last game.
Stop moving.
Recording. What?
If I brought you good.
Okay. That's me.
Real sec, what's up? Would you ever do another dual touch with an iron?
Run your shot.
No.
Just go.
I kind of figured out, like, why I
don't
want to go there by myself.
They're better than me. Alright. Because if I upload...
Where are they going to eat?
I don't fucking know, but they're not winning.
How was she fucking easy?
They ran.
Okay.
They are in there. But if I started clapping...
Yeah? Wait, is Tifu rapping right now?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought Big Yo. Tell Big T I want to hear some more.
Not watching me. Yeah.
Are they in that build? Oh, I see. Okay.
Probably not.
Do you have any AR bullets?
Yeah. Can't flip though.
I mean, you gotta think about it like that. That could happen. Fun,
so. Haven't been
that's a shot. That seriously is a shot.
This is dangerous.
This is dangerous.
Oh, crap. Ah, I'm so skinny. Thank you.
Where is the guy on you?
Yeah.
Because there's a guy in the house.
With anyone? Like, for example, like, I don't want to ever collab with someone whose clips are...
Wait, did you take one down? Oh, nice. The other guy's in the house.
We definitely have right, more
go.
Than it would hurt.
We gotta go back. We gotta go back.
Dance bar.
He's in the back. He went inside.
It would definitely help me more than it would hurt.
Coming up. The side.
Got it.
No, okay.
With people that had better clips than me. Okay. Can you imagine? He's like, oh. Imagine like people like watch the clips and we're.
Thank you. Is there something behind me? Okay, there's nothing there.
I am so confused. What?
What are you confused about? What's so confusing? I've made her speechless. I have that effect. I take people's breath away. Oh, she left. She was so confused she had to leave. Oh, hello.
Okay.
What? Something wrong? Is there something behind me? Tell me if something's behind me. Okay, nothing's there. You guys had such a surprised look on your face. I got concerned. I guess I took your breath away too. I've been having that effect on people lately.
Wait, how are you doing that?
What do you mean how I'm doing that?
Like, being an anime character.
That's just who I am. I got cosmetic surgery and I changed myself into an anime character.
How nice.
No, this is VR chat. I'm in VR.
That's cool.
It is pretty cool. I have this nice, beautiful sunset.
It's actually really
pretty. Yeah, it is really pretty. It is really pretty, but the issue is, it never goes down. It's just right there the entire time. So I try to sleep, and it's daylight all the time.
Fun.
It is fun.
How would I say? Like, there's never a feeling or something I'm going, I want to occur or anything. It's just what happens from it.
Well, see, but it is, in my case, I'm listening, and I've got all brainwashed into certain kind of ways it should be, and this shit just takes a fucking sledgehammer, and that Berlin Wall is gone.
Yeah, I always like try to think in that way when I'm making things of what your expectations are for how sounds are supposed to work, you know, because you just have a, like, you're so accustomed to listening to sounds and for them to, like, work as music, you know, like, whether you, you know, you hear, like, fucking traffic or whatever, but you still, like, you're still looking for the rhythm in it, you know what I mean? And that's something I always try to kind of pull away from when I'm making a piece.
You're not talking about the Stevie Winwood traffic. No. John Barleycorn must die. Or the low spark of the high heel boys. I remember when I was a teenager, they had a couple albums where they cut two of the corners off. That's how you could tell their record. Yeah.
That's a cool song.
Shootout at the Fantasy Factory. I think one of them was called. And one was called the Low Spark of the High Heel Boys. Anyway, I should tell people what we just heard. Network Glass with 3.5. Well, 0.3/10, Network Glass. Then Rhythm Play with Warzone Strut. That's got a Wayne Pete, Nels Klein's buddy on organ there. And University Challenge, brand new album, Inside Scovia's Dream, brother AJ from Holland, with his kind of experiment stuff. Yeah. And then finally, three Untitled Shit. It's all one word. So
it's a new one.
Is that a new one? Let me ask you about this idea of experimental music. I mean, because to me, right, everything could be experimental, but it's kind of a genre.
Yeah, I mean, that's obvious. It was just like a way for people to write about music, I guess. I mean, yeah, the idea that you're actively doing something experimental is, I think, pretty dumb. I mean, everyone's doing that. It doesn't matter what music you're making or fucking field recording you're doing, you know?
Right. I mean, it happened with hardcore, right? Crust, shred, power violence. What the fuck is power violence?
Just, you know, like sounding like Cookie Monster.
Yeah, but the other Cookie Monster guys.
Cookie Monster hardcore, you know?
I was asking Bear about the chill wave and dubstep and all. You know, Mike, it's all the BPM. Okay. I mean, this was in the 90s. But this need to have to give things fucking labels.
Yeah, it's weird. I get, you know, it's like the stuff I do always gets kind of shuffled in with noise. I was part of that noise community for a long time, and I guess I still am to a degree, because that's just often who puts my stuff out, really. But yeah, I don't know. It's all fucking dumb. Who cares?
Now, look, you hear that, people? This is a man making it. He don't give a fuck, so fuck the labels. If you like it, you like it. Okay.
If you don't.
You know, and you know what? You might change your mind. Who knows? Fuck it. Leave it alone, man. Let the freak flag fly. Where can people find you, Dora, on the internet?
I got like SoundCloud and, you know, some random, my shit's on Bandcamp. So, yeah, people know how to use the internet.
Yeah, so people, if you go to SoundCloud.com, you can search for Dora.
Network Glass.
Oh, Network Glass. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Just search Network Glass. There you go. You might get like a company that fixes car windows. Much more successful than I will ever be, but it's around.
Look for the musical one.
Maybe. So, well, I wouldn't even say that, but look for the other one.
I don't know. You know, to me, this is, you know, I come from going to Zev gigs and Nervous Gender, and, you know, I'm just glad there's cats like you doing what you're doing, you know, and making it safe to go crazy. With artistic expression, yeah, and I think it's really important what you're doing, Dor. And I got, again, thank you, Brother Evan, for making the connect. But yeah, you know, sure, I owe Jack Bruce a lot, you know, with the cream bass. But man, it's cats like you where I feel 13.
Nice.
I'm 63. So please keep on keeping on, okay?
Right, I'll do my best.
Okay, bitchin'. People, it's been the December 31, 2020. Dishwap Peter Show. What a great way to end the year. Thank you much, Dor. Keep your powder dry!